In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Fyodorov had fallen in love with the opera singer. In Anne Paget's novel, Bel Canto, they had been taken hostage during a diplomatic function in a South American mansion. He was a member of the Russian cabinet. She was an opera superstar from Chicago. They didn't speak the same language, yet after several months of captivity, he fell in love and through a translator told her so. This was absurd, and everyone but Fyodorov seemed to realize it. The opera singer, Roxanne Koss, who had kept her fellow hostages sane when she practiced each and every morning, listened patiently as the translator relayed his profession of love, despite the fact that she clearly did not share his affections. Heartbreak was coming. The barrel-chested Russian had worked up the courage to do this for days, and it seemed to anyone who was listening in, as well as to any of us who were reading it, that he was headed for a grand meltdown. She looked up and she asked, "And what if there is nothing for me to give you?" But for Fyodorov, that was never the point. He shook his head and he said, "What a thing to say after all that you have given me." But it was never about who has given what. That is not the way to think of gifts. This is not business that we are conducting. When you think of love, you think as an American, you must think as a Russian. It is a more expansive view. Roxanne smiled at Fyodorov, and everyone was quiet for a moment. Then finally, he stood up from his chair and clapped his hands together and said, "I, for one, feel much better. What a burden this has been to me. Now I can get some rest." To love, to really love, we must take a more expansive view. Love is patient and love is kind, we know that, but beyond that, love is self-giving. Love is deeply rooted in mutual relationship. Love is multidimensional. True love does not come with conditions, and love is never a transaction. When we commit ourselves to the way of love, when we love God, when we love another person, we realize that Fyodorov was exactly right. This is not business that we are conducting. It is a more expansive view. To be a Trinitarian is to take a more expansive view. Now, as Christians, we are Trinitarians, but at Trinity, we are Trinitarians as well. And I believe that that expansive view is essential to who we are. It is to take an expansive view of love and of our mutual commitments to one another. The Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, exists in a relationship of kinesthetic grace that draws each and every one of us ever deeper into union with all that is sacred. And this movement towards an expansive view takes us from our inward individualistic focus, which is so much of the way of the world, where ego and fear take up all the oxygen, into something deeper, into an I-thou relationship with God that is characterized by reverence and generosity. But then it takes us even further along the path than that to a place of indwelling, where we abide in the triune God, and we delight in the fact that it is a mystery that we do not understand. An expansive view is rarely the way of this world. It means that we seek mutual relationships that will change us, that we do this our whole lives long, rather than simply seek to affirm what we think we already have figured out. It means eschewing the familiar language of division and instead fine-tuning the skill of beholding, where we live to seek out and see the image of God in every person we meet. An expansive view can only happen when we surrender, when we rest in the greater life of mystery and awe. Paul concludes his second letter to the Corinthians by tracing the contours of the Trinity. Many years before it became a theology, before it became a doctrine, before people were naming cathedrals after it, you could simply see it in the language that Paul used to care for those early Christian communities. He said, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all." That was the end of the letter. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. These words of loving companionship framed everything in the letter that had come before. This way of following Jesus, of being in community, of living in the world, was shaped by these Trinitarian energies of grace, love, and communion. Grace, love, and communion. Orthodox Christians, capital O Orthodox, well, that's Ohio, but Orthodox Christians approach God with the language of energy and essence. The essence of God is unknowable to humans. It is a mystery that is thankfully far beyond our capacity to understand or, frankly, to distort. But through God's energies, which are those ways that we discern and we experience God in the world, we experience God ourselves. We can know God, sort of. The simplest metaphor is the sun. It's that Cleveland. It's that thing that sometimes appears up in the sky. Take my word for it. Actually, today we're getting an idea. The sun is up there warming us and allowing our earth to produce abundantly. But if we looked straight at it, we would lose our sight in a matter of seconds. Or if somehow we could approach the sun, we would be annihilated. It is too much for us. But we feel the warmth all the same. We eat the food that has grown through, come up from the earth all the same. So we experience the goodness of the sun, even if we cannot sit in the midst of it or look directly at it. The energies of the Holy Trinity, which Paul names as the grace of Jesus, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, teach us who God is. But they are also the very sun and soil and rain that allow us to bear fruit, and to bear fruit abundantly. Grace, love, communion. Grace is the flow of goodness, unearned, awakening us to a deeper, more beautiful reality than the one that we are conditioned to see. It's Fyodorov professing his love, not to win a mate, but because love's nature is simply to flow outward. What does he say afterwards? I, for one, feel much better. And the whole room went from the anxiety of a transaction going horribly wrong to feeling the energy that is produced when a gift is given freely. Something special is produced when a gift is given freely and abundantly. And love, it seems to me, is what flows through the Trinity and out into the world. It is a gift to us and for us, and it is a gift that flows through us. When we love, it is a reflection of that divine love. Indeed, our love for one another is a distinct facet of God's love for the world. When we love, it is an act of faith. When we love, we manifest the very love of God. Grace, love, and communion. Communion suggests community. It suggests union. This is relationship created by the Holy Spirit. This communion makes us the body of Christ, and it tells us that God is known in community. The communion of the Holy Spirit is not only an expression of faith, it is a way of life. It is how we are called to come together as friends, as companions along the way. Now today, we're going to be gathering afterwards for a celebratory lunch as we launch a new season in the life of Trinity, as we begin a campaign, as we look at things like windows and cathedral hall and endowment, all of which are important, all of which are projects that we're going to talk about. But what is most important is how we come together as a community of the Spirit to become the body of Christ. That is what this work, this campaign, this time together is all about. It's about coming together to live as the beloved. Now, Paul also concludes this letter. He turns to the Corinthians and he says, in a very Pauline way, put things in order. But that means cultivate and care for your community. It means seek counsel that is godly and wise. It means work together towards agreement, but not false unity. Do the hard work. Cultivate peace as something that is generative and life-giving. The Trinitarian life is rich and it is rewarding, but it takes commitment and it takes an unyielding willingness to treasure every human being as a child of God. And when I say the Trinitarian life, yes, I mean the Christian life, but I also mean our cathedral, because I hear in that a part of our charism, that to be a Trinitarian is to treasure every human being as a child of God. And it is to see the whole world that way. And to return to Fyodorov, it is to take an expansive view. One that asks something of us. One that sends us out into the world. Go, therefore. Go, you who have experienced the fullness of the love of God. The grace, the love, and the communion of the Holy Trinity. Go out into this world and share what you have been given. Make disciples. Bind up the brokenhearted. Pour the love that you have received out into the world abundantly without a need for results or reciprocation, but simply because that's what we're supposed to do with love. Take the expansive view and know that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit is always with you. Amen.